When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ramble.
Bloodsucker, fame fucker, welcome to Guilty Pleasures.
Okay, that was a good choice.
Yeah, that's good.
We are here, we're ready to talk about Olivia Rodrigo's sophomore album, Guts. And joining us in the studio, we have the very one and only Sequoia Holmes.
Who is now a professional music podcaster after having the paramour, Hayley Williams, on her podcast. Black people love Paramore.
It was very sick.
It was a dream.
It was a huge fucking deal.
And it felt, I mean, you know, obviously young Olivia grew up loving Paramore. Yeah.
Paramore. I like Paramore.
Yeah. Paramore.
Yeah.
I want to just actually start with a little beef.
Uh-oh.
Because this morning, Kelsey said, she texted our group thread and said, can we have Sequoia on the pod? Which, love that idea.
Yeah.
She said, and I quote, I need someone who gets it.
Yeah.
I was not about to come here and defend this album.
Which is
the
like,
greatest.
It's almost as if you don't know us at all.
I don't trust you two with the hormones of a teenage woman.
Okay, that's very fair, but we are still observant and can relate to certain
things. Do you see this cell phone in my hand? The phone case that I have had for 2 years, a worn to death Olivia Rodrigo phone case.
Yes.
Get on my fucking level, bro.
Okay, Zachary, it's very cute that you are a fake fan. And I do quote from our text group thread, he hadn't even listened to the album all the way through.
Because, you want to fucking go.
You want to go.
This is great.
It's hot. It's warm in here.
I'm gonna spill. It's just like an Olivia Rodrigo song.
I'm feeling pretty fucking sour.
It's like Grudge. Yeah.
I hadn't listened to the album yet because I wanted a time where I could sit down, turn the fucking lights off, listen to it from start to finish without any interruptions.
It's a cry.
That's every time
I tried to listen to this album, I was in the car and we were picking someone up and people were trying to talk and I'm like, I'm not doing this. I don't want to listen to the album as a second activity. Yeah. I want to listen to it. So yeah, we're about, in the time of recording this, it's just under a week since the album came out. And didn't have a chance and to have a sacred experience. But we decided to record it for this episode and I said, Maggie, hold my calls.
Yeah. Oh my God. I thought you could say, Maggie, shut the fuck up.
This just means that I am, you just made me realize how lonely I am because I have listened to this album at least 8 times all the way through and can sing every single song.
Wow.
And I wasn't like, oh my God, I'm a real fan. I'm so fucking, I just am alone a lot.
You just did it. I have the
time to listen to these lyrics, to Google them, to hear fan theories. Like this, although Olivia herself, I don't know much about, I don't know like her background, Sour got me through my breakup last year, even though I was like 3 years late. I remember hearing Sour and going, damn, I wish I was going through a breakup so I could really appreciate this.
And then you broke up with someone so you could really appreciate it.
Boy, oh boy, yeah. Be careful what you wish for.
Damn, the fact that
Guts is this like self-discovery, more rocky, a little bit more in her element and fun album to scream to, I felt like I finally got it when it was meant to be.
So seeing her talk about the fact that she likes Rage Against the Machine right now, and I was like, oh, fuck yes. I think I'm going to like this album. And then I listened to it on the way here, which is, you know, not the best, but...
That's why Sequoia's here.
Yeah, because I only listened to it one time and not like 8 times through.
I listened to it 4 times in the last like 4 hours.
Thank you.
Definitely just...
I also texted Sequoia the day I think Vampire dropped or Bad Idea dropped and was like, does your brain feel like on fire the way mine does?
Are you having the same experience? Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely did.
I think I heard you say this just quietly while Kelsey was talking. Do you think this is a better album?
I do.
Wow.
Yeah, that's huge.
I think it's not even close, honestly.
Not even close.
Think it's close.
Sequoia's also
Tell me more.
Wearing a hat.
I really wanted to like Sour. We see I have the Sour merch on here. I really wanted to like Sour. And I didn't dislike it, but I did not love it. I felt like I was sold teen angst and given teen crooning. more, which is fine. Like, you know, she's good at singing and making music overall, but this is angsty. Yeah. This one's like teen angst. Even the slower paced songs are angsty, except for one, which we'll talk about. Yeah. But yeah, me and Zach talked about it a little bit, but yeah.
You know, often in music, you hear the sophomore slump following up an album, especially if you come out of the gate, you have your big hit. It's really hard to follow that up. You know, are you getting pigeonholed to doing the same sound again? Can you catch that lightning in a bottle? Can you honor what people liked about you while still evolving on your sound? It is the ultimate pitfall in music. And I think it happens in other art as well, but really, traditionally, you see it happen a lot in music. And so there was a lot of fear going into this album. Could our beloved Olivia...
our sweet baby Olivia.
Our sweet baby girl.
She's a 20-year-old now. She's no longer our baby.
She'll always be my baby. I remember when you were just a wee little girl. So Kelsey threw down the gauntlet right before we started recording.
Oh,
she said,
okay.
I would like to speak through every single song on the album. That is not something we traditionally do, but we're going to try
our darndest.
It's a short
album, though, so we can just kind of just run through every song. That's fine,
I
right?
guess so.
It's not 12 songs. It's not like it's just short songs, but it's 12 songs.
I mean, just to, I guess, close the loop on Sour verse Guts, which I don't think it is a verse, but Sour definitely, at least on first listens to me, has a lot more standout singles, right? Mm. It's an album of radio hits.
Okay. Yeah.
Whereas this feels like, in many ways, she's maturing her sound. She's trying different things, while still, again, as I said, honoring that angst sound. And it's angrier. And what I really like about the character that she presents, like the character of Olivia in this album, is a mess.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
she is a messy, so sloppy,
mess.
Self-sabotaging, wounded person. And I like that compared to the first album, which was all, you fucked me. Like, you are the enemy, which I think, you know, we all needed at that moment.
Yeah.
This one is more, I am my worst enemy, and I'm owning it.
Yeah. Which is really mature of her.
I know my age and I am my age,
she did say that.
That's
it's
very cool.
So real.
And I like, what was the last, on the last song,
Teenage
where she was
Dream.
Talking about, and she wants to be, she doesn't want to be wise for her age anymore.
Yeah.
She just wants to be wise.
She's
just
worried that they've already gotten the best of her. She's so self-reflective in this.
Which
and it's so much fun. Like, you're right that Sour was a little bit more, as much as this has these like gutty ballads, I feel like they're still fun and she's trying new things. She's hearing, like, she's sounding different and she's leaning into this new actualized version, which by being actualized, she's saying, I know nothing. So.
This was the first project that I've heard from someone in Gen Z that where I was like, okay, you guys are going the correct route.
You're okay.
You know, you're bringing it back to the early 2000s rock, or like maybe, I don't know, maybe 90s. I don't know. I'm not sure.
2000s emo
stuff. And I was like, oh, this reminds me of high school. It reminds me of the types of movies that were paired with this soundtrack, you know, like the teenage films and all of that stuff. And that, It felt safe. Like, I was like, I know where a lot of these things are going to go for me, like, personally.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Rainey, let's get a taste of the first song, which is maybe my favorite song of the album, All American Bitch. I'm light as a feather, stiff as a board. I pay attention to the things that most people ignore.
Don't, Zach.
I mean, we'll talk about this more, but between the first and last song in the album, there is another album that I want to see from her. It's a real reflection on modern femininity and what it means to be a young woman. There's a lot of really apt observations.
She gives a lot of very specific to Olivia as an artist lines that somehow are universal.
Yeah, the angst is there and all of that stuff. But even when Driver's License came out and everybody was like, oh, I think this young woman is a phenomenal songwriter and like probably one of the best that we've had
while.
One of the best new songwriters we've had in a while. And usually when you get into like rock ballads and whatnot, you don't get a lot of like crazy lyricism.
No.
You get like a lot of like front-facing guitar and all that stuff, which is always fantastic. That's what made me fall in love with it in the first place. But she really does show off her lyricism.
Poetry.
It's all poetry in most of these songs.
people want to, I think that's why people were saying, is she going to have as good of an album as Sour? Or was that like a one-time thing? Was that just, you know, the curse?
Right.
But people don't want to give her credit for how amazing of a lyricist she is because she's a woman and because of her age.
No, she's fantastic.
Yeah,
no, she's
great. We don't equate like youth with understanding and being able to possibly condense these big emotional things that happen in your life down to something as poetic and catchy as what she's able to do, which is what I appreciate about people recognizing how talented she actually is.
And for me, like, the first album is your life's work. Anybody's first albums, like, I've been working on this theme, these lyrics. This is my best 15 songs I've ever written in my life. And then your second album's like, this is the best songs I come up with in the last year or two.
Right.
But she killed it. So that tells me that she's actually a very talented songwriter and not just like someone who whole life is just in the first album and you know, you can't reproduce in the
This is my theory on this. Like, because she's coming from acting, like she kind of like got plucked out from that. Was she technically
she was
Disney
I think she was on Bizarre Bark, which was actually on Disney XD, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. And then she was on High School Musical, the musical, the series.
So like when you like technically get to Disney, and like when you take one of those kids from there and just like, hey, you got to make an album. It's just like, okay, so I haven't been thinking about this for my life, you know, or for my entire life. Mm-hmm. And so she was just like, all right, like, give me like 2 years, I'll come out with something. And then she did, and she killed it. And you're like, okay, well, next thing, what else do you have? And then she had the same amount of time, the same time period. So like the idea that it is her entire life's work in this album, in this first album, maybe not. I'm not sure, but I do feel like, when you give someone that amount of constraint and that amount of like time, which is like really low, and they come out with like a banger of a project, that's just talent. Yeah. That's just pure and raw talent. Like,
she gives me musician first,
before
actress.
Before actress,
She's a good actress. I watched. She's good, but she gives me musician first.
Yeah. Who doesn't love saying "bitch" in like a song?
Starting off with
"bitch"
like,
is so fun. She teases the
lyric it before she's all American.
And she cusses a lot. Yeah. We've been seeing that with a lot of like female songwriters, artists, which I'm glad we're just like allowing them to be fucking like grrr.
It wasn't always like that.
No.
Like, I don't think people realize it was not always like that.
No, people didn't want their teenage girls to grow up.
People didn't want their young girls to curse. It was like not feminine, and it was a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Beyonce did not curse for a very long time.
Crazy.
Before, like, she only recently started cursing when she, you know, was an adult for real. And then, like, just think about like Hayley Williams' intro to the world, kind of on a more Christian note. It just wasn't a thing.
Yeah, like I love that. She named the first one, her first song on the album, All American Bitch.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, I love it so much.
Yeah,
like, what can you guys say about her that she's not saying about herself in this album, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's like, try me. I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On the note of production, I think one of the best things that ever happened to Olivia is teaming up with producer Dan Nigro. He was an indie musician. He was in this band called As Tall as Lions, which my college roommate, shout out Pat, was obsessed with this band. And so now, you know, 10 years later, to see him making these top 40 radio hits is such a mind fuck for me.
Yeah.
But he was able to harness this sound and this talent. And I don't fully know how their collaboration worked out, but I know she has talked about how instrumental he is into building this sound with her. And I'm just fucking thrilled. It's very cool to see talented people get second life in unexpected projects.
Good for him for getting it, like getting the teen angst of it all. Because if he was producing indie for like, the last 10 years, that means he's definitely a little older.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, he really got it.
He is a man in his mid-40s.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great.
Working with Olivia Rodrigo to make the greatest teen bedroom angst pop rock of all time.
Also for 33-year-old women.
Yeah. Also for 33-year-old teenagers.
It is very, very like jumping on the bed, letting your hair like kind of like run around.
It really
type of song.
Is. I've been in my car, like not tinted enough windows. Like, can we move to the next song, Bad Idea, right?
Sure.
Because... bitch,
killer.
When this fucking came out,
killer.
I'm trying not to be so obvious with this maybe being my favorite song on the album because
it's
like
mine.
It's the second single that came out. But yo, the way that when I am out with my friends and I get that text and I get back in my little car and I start fucking blasting this song, I'm like, this 19-year-old girl fucking gets
it. She really does.
Okay,
we don't grow up.
After I saying, guess not. After this, that a beautiful rant that you just said, I just want to put out like a disclaimer. White people, y'all gotta get back to making rock music, bro. Look at how important it is to people.
I beg.
It's fucking like stop rapping, bro. Yeah, like
no more SoundCloud.
We don't need.
We
like,
should leave. We're okay. That.
We got
no
it.
More lo-fi.
No more lo-fi.
No more lo-fi. We got enough.
Fucking
no.
Pick up a guitar.
Yeah. And look at live.
Fender is right down the street.
Yeah.
Guitar Center is right down the street. Pick one up.
Mm-hmm.
Pick Stratica. One up.
Be more like Dave Grohl.
Yes.
Be yeah. more like Dave Grohl.
And you know what's crazy?
A life motto.
When I first heard, for the very first time when I heard Bad Idea, I was not sure how I felt about the talk singing. Then when I'm in my car and I'm thing and I should stop, but I can't. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
At first. And then without even thinking about it, I was already going,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, fuck, this bitch yeah. knows how to make something an earworm.
Oh,
something
yeah.
viral. If you listen to a lot of her runs, a lot of her melodies, they are perfect circles. She knows how to catch my ADHD, hook me, bring me right back to the start for the next verse. And I'm already obsessed. Yeah. And like when you do have ADHD, whoa, I'm getting too deep here. But like this album feels like a brain scratch. Like it's like
it's so good.
It's easily repeatable. The songs, you can on pace understand the melodies and why she does certain runs, and it feels good in my body.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Give us a fucking
yeah.
taste.
Yeah, let's see.
Brain scratch. I love that, that phrase.
Second song on the album, she says, hi, I'm a messy bitch.
I'm all fucked up. Sing some undertones.
She's kind of doing the Julian Casablancas thing with her voice where she's like talking through a voice box.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Talking through a voice box.
Part.
Have a mic on the other side
this
of
part.
A megaphone.
Right
yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
I have thoughts on this part.
I know we need to do commentary over it, but it's very hard because we just want to listen.
It's just
my commentary is that it's hard to do commentary because we're just happy.
Seeing
him tonight.
It's a bad
idea,
right? It's fun.
This is an anthem for being fucked up and drunk in your early 20s and making
bad decisions.
Yeah. That's what I was like thinking about. I was like, okay, this is a drunk thought.
Fuck it,
like,
it's fine.
You're 20.
Yes, I know that.
Yes, I know that he's my ex, but can two people reconnect?
Biggest lie I ever said.
Yeah, like, it's about like
knows.
Running back to your ex, falling into his bed after a night. Like, this is the worst mistake we've all made in our early 20s.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she is creating it as
no,
an anthem that you can scream from your rooftop and say, you know what? I'm a fuck up
Listen
and that's
to this
okay.
Part right here. Wait.
I know what you're going to say.
I
need to talk about it.
I need to talk about it. This sound right here. How? Dare she?
So what are you talking about? That little
the stutter. It wasn't in the first part.
Stutter.
It wasn't in the first loop.
The
first loop was not there. The second loop, it's like she creates these moments
it.
And she just like drags you in. Like you were saying, it really is a brain scratch. I could not understand
why so I was so obsessed with this song. And then we talked about it. And I'm like, when she says, I feel my, it just gets to your inner EDM girly too, where you're just I want some
It's also really good harmony. Just doing the octaves or whatnot. I don't know how to harmonize at all. I never know where to find that note or that pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know how to do it because you fucking
we can
raise
do it right
on.
Now.
Yeah, ready?
I really don't. I'm just
Anyway, it's very good. It's very good. I love a good harmony.
But we just keep going next song.
Yeah.
Next song.
Let's talk about the first single.
Next song.
Mm-hmm. This Vampire. Was like Wild as the first single to me.
What?
Because it's like so not indicative of the rest of the album. I was like, oh, an interesting first one? Single. I thought we were getting another Sour Vampire third song.
It was giving a little bit driver's license.
It was very driver's license. I'm like, oh, we're getting Sour again. And like, I didn't love Sour, but I didn't hate Sour. Like, okay, sure. But first of all, Vampire is fantastic.
It's
also
great.
It's really good.
But also,
not indicative.
I'm done with it. Like, I say I'm done with it because like I've heard it 75 times already. And I'm like, good. Yeah, it's a great song. It's a fucking banger.
Yeah.
I think you're doing it a disservice. I think it's a breathtaking track.
It is really good.
It is the lyricism is great, but the musicality and production of it, the way that it takes this hurt feeling and builds on it sonically as the song goes, I think is really fantastic. Okay, can I actually, I was going to say this before, to bring it back to Dan one more time, as a producer, what I think, I was just last night, a little brag, hanging out with my buddy Yola, and
she was
telling me,
I met her at your wedding, it was great.
She was telling me about the recording process, and like in different cities, what it is like going into a recording studio, and really how easy it is to get disregarded as a songwriter, as a producer, as a talent, and just starting to hear the system that you have to fight through. And so the fact that Olivia was able to team up with someone who was able to recognize her talent and then protect her from the systems of the music industry, because it is it's brutal out here. The music industry takes especially young women, but young talent, chews them up, spits them out, commodifies them, and it seems like so far Olivia has been very cherished and protected and given this sanctum in which she can explore her sound, and I'm just fucking grateful.
I do feel like there is an outer shell of like bigger artists right now that can be forced into a pocket that everybody, like if we're looking at like the industry or whatever, they can glom onto them and be like, you have to be like this. And you're just like, but then they look at Olivia Rodrigo and they're like, well, we'll give her a little bit more time or whatever. Let's just see what she's going to do. And I feel like that is a nice, I always argue this, that's a nice place of fame to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To where you can always be a quiet surprise and kind of build out what you are. And then by the time people pay attention, they're like, well, this is what I am. You know, I'm 25. This is what you built me up to be. So why would I go on to your weird form of pop music or whatever?
No, she's separating herself.
She's separating herself.
Taking a different road.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can't compare to anyone else out right now. You can try and say she's poppy and you point to this album and go, where?
Yeah.
She's rock, baby.
True.
Yeah.
Can you give us maybe halfway through Vampire?
Oh yeah, give me those drums.
And is this one of the songs where you want to talk about? Who might this be about?
I do want to talk. I don't know. Okay. I don't know, but I'd love to know.
Even with the piano, it starts. You're like, oh, we're getting Driver's License Part 2. Yeah. And he's like, no, I'm going to build.
I really like that line where she says, you make the worst one look fine. You make the worst problem look fine. I'm like, this tells me that she's talking about a boy. I really feel like she's talking about a boy.
The way you sold me for parts.
I think people are saying it's about that guy she dated, Adam Faze. Faze.
Fozzy boy.
Is he old? Because she also kind of implied that he like was older in the song.
Yes, and that he doesn't age like a vampire, like giving Edward Cullen.
And then she's speaking
ever cut
to everything.
Deeper, by the way, than the insult of bloodsucker, fame fucker.
Fame fuckers.
Especially if you're a guy.
That hurts.
Ew.
Yeah.
Well, let's
she's getting deep here.
Rainey, pull up all of Olivia Rodrigo's past partners. Let's look who they dated afterwards and see if they're famous.
Who this is supposedly about.
You actually have to do that, Rainey.
I'm like, research project. Let's go. We gotta figure this out. On the case.
Where's the murder board? Let's put up the murder board. Has yellow yarn, red yarn.
You tell me I'm wrong.
What's his name? He is giving vampire.
Yeah, what is his name?
He's a vampire.
Oh my god.
Oh wait, that's not the one I was thinking.
I don't think this is the same guy that I want him back is about.
Okay.
Which, I changed my mind. That's my favorite thought.
That one is, Ballad of a High School or a Homeschool
Girl
is close to me.
Get him back is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
This guy.
Who's that?
Oh.
That looks like the same dude with longer hair.
This is an ugly man.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Zach Bia.
Well,
don't say his name.
Can they not see the photo on your phone?
I don't know.
We need to talk about the next song because
What's the next one?
Next song.
It's one of my favorite.
No way we're making it through the entire album.
Oh, wait, it's one of my favorite ballads.
Kelsey, I hate this one.
Leave the Room.
This is the one.
Yeah, no.
Why did you skip on the album? Are you out of your fucking mind?
I was like, that's a good 3-song run. Right. And then I got to the fourth and I was like, oh.
Okay, to be fair, you're right. It's the first slow song on the album that you hit. And here's what's going to change your mind.
Okay, yeah.
People don't like the like whisper singing.
That's exactly what
I argue that this is actually way more vocally of a presence and show of her voice. It's also giving a little bit like, what's the chick's name?
Billie Eilish?
Not that one, the other one.
Billie Eilish?
That one. Yeah, okay. Oh my God. Eilish Maggie Rogers. It's giving like a little bit more festival.
Next song.
No, hold on. The lyrics on this one, if you listen to them, and this is why I love this song, you think it's about a girl, right? You think it's about like, who is she talking about that I'm jealous of?
Kelsey.
It is.
Tell me about that.
It's a figment of her imagination that every girl is comparing themselves to another girl who is better than them. It's talking about a feeling that girls don't like to talk about, which is comparing themselves to someone that they're friends with. And you can be happy for them, but you're also incredibly jealous of them. And you fucking hate that you're jealous of them.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not even a real person. It's a feeling. It's
like, no, yeah, we got it. I don't like it.
That's what I was talking about. But again, I'm like a person where the beat, the sound of the music has to get me before I can even start to care about the lyrics at all.
I think you like it less because it's the first slow one after 3 bangers.
That really might be true.
It's not only because of
the Rainey, you can turn this off.
Yeah, thank you.
Cut that shit off.
If y'all are not crying to that song yet, you haven't lived.
Yeah, I think it's.
And I feel sorry for y'all.
It's also a song that is too close to country, and we're like,
it's a little folksy,
and I'm like,
it's a little like Lana, Florence.
And
it's a
I
little.
I don't like Alana.
Yeah,
she's got
a Lana, not Alana, but
I think y'all are. You want her to just be the rock punk early on this.
I'm so happy for you, and I have nothing to say.
You need to take Olivia at her Lacey's if you're going to love her at her Bad Ideas.
You don't have an Olivia phone case.
I have a hat, okay.
Fair. We have the
merch. People have bought merch.
We've paid.
I paid to be here.
All right, go to Ballad of Homeschool Girl, you freak.
This one eats.
At the end of the album, I immediately thought, this is a fun thing to see live in general. This is
we're going
100%.
Yes.
Oh, I can't fucking wait.
I will.
By the way,
I will drop any coin.
Olivia.
I will clear my schedule.
I'll never forgive her for her first little tour because she was playing these tiny little venues, which I get. She's like, I have to earn the big ones. I'm like, yeah, but also I can't fit.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not enough seats for me, and I've got a lot of strings that I'm able to pull. Couldn't pull that one.
Wow. Yeah.
This is the one show that I couldn't fucking pull in favors for.
Damn.
And get a ticket to. And I thought about like flying to St. Louis. That is how
you were serious.
That's
how
hungry I was.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't that serious because I didn't do it.
Right.
Yeah, but you know, and
even
now this tour, she's starting in Palm Springs, going on a whole world tour, ending in LA.
Wow.
We gotta wait till the whole end unless we're gonna drive into the
Palm
desert.
September 17th.
Wait, what?
That's this weekend. Right?
It's already happening?
It goes on sale and then...
Oh, it goes on sale. Okay. I have to buy them for me and my niece. She's also obsessed.
I have to register for the Amex Early Access. I'm glad we talked about this.
Great.
Gang, we're going to Palm Springs.
We're going to Palm Springs.
let's hit All American, whatever it is. What is this? Ballad of a teenage...
Of a homeschooled girl.
And it's not a ballad at all, which I love.
No.
Look, this whole album,
this is giving...
when Olivia's at her height, it is teen rom
Tom. Opening.
Is, 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yes.
Half of this album
is
Freaky Friday. Yeah.
Yes.
It is Letters from Cleo doing the Josie and the Pussycat soundtrack.
Into the school parking lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're
and
all
they have like a Volkswagen, like a bright blue Volkswagen or like a Jeep
Cinderella
or something.
Story.
And there's so many of them.
I'm texting you on my sidekick.
Yeah. Yes. Love it.
I'm going to work at the diner and serve milkshakes after school.
Yeah. Exactly. This is definitely a hot dog on the stick. type of like, yes. This is my summer job.
It's
opening.
Boy.
It's a montage that establishes all the cliques in school, and you see people walking really fast, then it slows down and to show just, like the punks really fast, the nerds really
the
fast,
girls montage.
The rejects.
Yeah.
I love the lyrical content of this one too. This one's about like what being like so cringe as every young person feels. Every time I step outside, I do something cringy and I fucking hate myself.
Dude.
That's,
and I love that she takes a chance at saying something really unpopular here.
She does.
Because there's something naughty feeling about screaming suicide.
I thought she took a couple risks on this album in general. I was like, that's one of them. Like, I'm like, it's social suicide. Okay, can we say that?
I could have seen like producers being like, we can't. Right. We're not doing that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Especially for her age group. But but I mean, I like it.
I love it.
I love a risky girl.
Yes.
But Billie Eilish made a whole album about her killing
But Billie does not give a fuck. No, Olivia does not give like Billie's level of doesn't give a fuck at all.
Olivia's on like Lexapro, and like Billie Eilish has gotten off all SSRIs and is now trying to do ayahuasca to cure her trauma. They're on different levels of mental health. You know what I'm saying?
That's very fair.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I think they're both sober. I don't know.
I mean, they're both great.
They're great. They're fantastic artists. Not, it's just that one is a lot more like I'm ready to go.
I've lived. I'm done.
I think Billy might fight you.
I get that.
I remember finishing that album. I was like, you're 18. Just thinking, why are you this sad? Yeah. What happened?
The
to
difference
you?
Is Olivia sang Vampire. Billy will just bite your
we'll
leg.
Will bite you.
Definitely bite you. Yes. Absolutely. Yep.
She's a gnawer.
Yeah.
I really don't think we have time to do the entire album unless we're gonna speed run it.
Oh my god. Okay, Making the Bed is gorgeous. I cried the first time I heard it.
It's a really good song. But that's another slow one that I was like, oh, this is great. It's because it stays away from folk music. Yeah. It's just unfortunate.
Yeah. Don't mind that one.
I do like the messaging behind it.
What is the messaging? Because I just like it.
It's she's who's making her own bed and she has to lay in it.
She hates all her friends and her fair weather friends and like nobody's around her. She pushes everybody away who loves her.
But it's her. She's not complaining anymore. She's going, no, I recognize this is my own fault.
Yeah.
So usually when I listen to songs, I don't hear the words. Mm-hmm. And I would say something that is a testament to Olivia is that for a lot of the songs, I actually did hear the messages and the words on the first listen. But in Making the Bed, I was like, I should start having better habits and make my bed.
That is so funny.
That is so funny.
It's not even about your own choices.
I see how you arrived there.
Next, we are Logical, which is not, this is my Lacey.
Okay.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's also fine. Yeah.
I think it needs a word that just she clung to it too deeply.
Oh, I think Logical is the one that's after
It's after Making the Bed.
Yeah. So it's like it's double slow song. Yeah. And that's why I'm like, okay. Before it was like, you know, let's get three bangers, slow song, two bangers, slow song. Now it's like two slow songs back to back. And so when listening to Logical, I didn't like it until like towards the end of it. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that breakdown towards the end was fun. But everything else, I was like,
It felt like a little bit of a forced word puzzle for me. Like, it just felt like she clung to this one word of logical and wanted to make a song out of it. And I was like, girl, no one's forcing you to do this. You don't have to.
I imagine some of these will grow on me more over time, but I would say that not all the slow songs are made equal. And the deficiencies in some of them show you just how exemplary and fantastic the other ones are when you compare them.
Yep.
Me and Sequoia were talking about this, about a different artist, about listening to stuff loud, right? Where, like, definitely some of those songs, some of those ballads, are as far as, like, them growing, or some of those slower songs, as far as them growing on you, I definitely want to listen to them live so that I can be like, okay, well, what is she actually
intending us to hear
through her performance or through, like, the guitar's performance or whatever? Because there's a lot of stuff that you'll miss just listening to it in the car, sonically.
Mm-hmm.
So hearing it live, I'm excited to just hear all of the things that I didn't like as much just perform, just to see, let's see what she actually wanted in the first place.
Yeah.
I'm skipping ahead a couple songs, but
no, we're about to get him back.
Get him back.
Oh, you're right.
One.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. I will do no such
best
thing.
One.
That's a one.
I think this is my favorite one on the album because it describes a feeling that every fucking girl knows.
It's so in the middle.
You want him. You want to have sex with him. You want to be kissing him, but you also want him to be jealous. Yeah. And not.
I also want to hurt him, but
you
want to
hurt
like,
him. You want to meet his mom.
I
want to continue being hurt by him, though.
I know that he's gonna do it, but I love him.
I'm actually pretty upset
that y'all are saying that. Oh, this is what every teenage girl. Yes, that's what dudes do too. Like we all do that shit. That's why there's no like meeting in the middle because we're all not talking about the fact that we're trying to do the exact same
thing. So you want a girl to like you, but you also hate her a little?
For sure. At 19, 18, yes, yeah.
That is wild to me.
Oh!
The way it starts
that sharp note.
Is this the one where like the little words underneath are like, is this the one with the drums? Yeah. It starts off like that. It says, is this the one with the drums? And if the drums hit,
I want to get them back. It becomes an anthem, a crowd festival.
It's a stadium song.
The fuzz on the guitar is very Sex Bomb from Scott Pilgrim.
So give it to me.
It's in there.
You know I want this.
I love it.
I love this sound.
It's a return to form. I think that everybody should fucking get back onto this. I hope that this blows up so that there are a lot of copycats or a lot of people just getting back into it.
The lane was wide open.
What were y'all doing? Okay, so there's already, I'm sorry, just really quick. In Europe, there is this wave of like, I'm going to sing as jazzily as humanly possible and as R&B as humanly possible. Amy Winehouse, Adele, all of them, because they saw American music and absorbed it, and then they're like, why the fuck did y'all move past this?
Right, what are y'all doing?
What are you doing?
This era wasn't done.
Yeah, and I feel like she's definitely on that wave of like, we're not done with emo. We went straight too far from God's light.
We need to
come back to rock music. Mm-hmm. There was an entire lane open that I really love that she's taking advantage
of. You're so right, too, that like in this version of rock, which I don't recall from like our fun emo teenage girl eras from like boy bands, mm-hmm. like our Taking Back Sundays, our Fall Out Boys, mm-hmm. is almost the electric guitar and the drums in this entire album are characters. Mm-hmm. They have moments where they're going, where the drums fucking go from just a beat to a fucking whole moment where you're like, oh my God, this is so fun.
Live shit was. Like whenever they were just in the studio all together, jamming on a guitar or whatever, everybody had their moment in the spotlight to just kind of, you know, like that's where jazz. Guitar solos came from. That's where drum solos came from. Like you would just get like random drum fills and you'd be like, oh fuck, that is sick. That this person did that. You should do that again. Do it several times. And I think it's lost on us when we go to like, oh, I'm just gonna add a guitar on this track, or add just digital in general. It feels like a live album rather than I'm just going to add in. Different tracks.
Feels like a soundtrack. Like this is definitely just a straight through soundtrack.
I wonder if Olivia just opened up her journal, her diary, and it was like, I want to meet his mom and tell her he sucks. And so it was like, that's fire.
That's fire. Pull that out.
So good. There's so many insults in this that these are the insults that you wish you had in the moment.
Yeah. He says he's 6'2". Nice try.
Nice try, dude.
Careful. Like, 6'2 is very tall.
That's so specific.
You can't lie about that. I would also like to point out
that girls know every fucking time. If you are lying by 1 inch, I'm going to know it. I promise you.
I'm looking
you.
At the fuzz of
I
your
guarantee
hair.
It.
I'm looking at the shoe lift.
I can estimate a height so well.
So far
also
away.
Also support short kings.
Yeah, totally fine. Just don't lie. Just say your height.
It's fine.
Yeah. Speaking of cracking open her diary and saying that's fire lines, I think Love is Embarrassing is my favorite
title.
Definitely a title
that's a
of
good
the
title.
Whole album. Because like
she knows what the fuck she's doing.
Is that not a comedian's line? Oh, that's a stand-up line. Just going off about love and then being God, love is so embarrassing.
Love is embarrassing.
There was I don't know what episode I had said it on, but I said love is responsibility, and I think that's very like on that line. So it's just like just comic
you were
brain
almost
type shit.
Olivia Good.
I was almost Olivia Good. Yeah. I was so close.
Yeah,
but yeah, Love is Embarrassing is like if you're thinking about the whole cringe era that Gen Z is bringing in, of course they would think that Love is Embarrassing.
It's so true. There's like a whole movement on the internet that you don't show your boyfriend until you are married. because of the notion that love is embarrassing.
It's funny.
Like, I have multiple friends who are in full years-long relationship. The internet never has a slight idea. Well, you had a very, you know, legitimate reason. You know, everybody's watching.
I saw a TikTok of it was this couple showing off the love surge.
Oh my God!
You know this shit? Do you know this shit?
I did. Did you see the TikTok after though of her crying and how everybody's been so fucking mean about it?
No, I
don't. What's the love surge?
I love that. Showed it to you. She knows it's cringe. You guys, I make fun of her.
I planned on setting my camera up and doing this to Garrick, like. Doing the love search just to get his reaction because he was gonna fucking hate it. He was gonna hate it so bad.
He was like, why are you touching me?
Right.
I'm sorry to hear that she's gotten a lot of bullying.
She did get a lot of bullying for it.
Do you want to see the most cringy thing about being
in love?
She knows.
And it's like, one of us will get the love surge, and it's this, her boyfriend behind him is like, yeah, give it to me. And he hugs her from behind and fucking just vibrates until they're both jumping up and down. And Maggie showed this to me.
The love
and
I went, surge?
He's having a love surge. Love like, surge. In his he body, just needs his, the to, love like, is so strong for her shake. At the moment.
It's the zoomies to, like, of being in love.
And, like, get it out.
You know, when you're so fucking just like enamored by that your person, you just like stand on top of them and you start kissing them and you're like, I fucking love you, you dumb cunt.
It's like how you feel like your pet.
When you call Sequoia a dumb cunt, you know that moment.
Yeah, obviously. All the time.
Love is embarrassing. I love this next song. Pretty isn't pretty.
Pretty isn't pretty.
Oh, yeah. That's like such a good teenage way to address like the Instagramness of the world now. The fact that everybody is filtered, filled.
It is very pretty. The lyrics are very nice. I love it. It's great.
The Barbie message.
It does sound like 1979 by Smashing Pumpkins.
Maybe that's why I so fucked with this art. Yeah, Can you give us a snippet? I, for whatever reason, this song, it's not my favorite song on the album. Wow, you're so right. It was the first song I heard where I'm like, oh, Olivia's going to be okay. And what I mean by that, I was nervous of like, what if we get tired of this
sound?
See,
to me, I'm like, this doesn't sound like the rock punk, like it's giving like an indie.
No, this is different.
It's different. It's a different song.
Band. It's a song. Yeah. And it gave me a comfort of like, oh, there's more here.
Yeah.
And
it felt like Lords of Dogtown type music, which I always fuck with. It just reminds me of high school.
Yeah.
1979 by Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh yeah.
It's the opening of a movie in the third act when she's lost it all.
She
has to go apologize.
If you put his vocals over Pretty Isn't Pretty, it's still like you could sing the same song. Which is cool.
The final song of the album, Teenage Dream,
one of the
which
best ballads.
I keep saying this, might be my favorite song on the album.
Oh, sick.
I love this song and I love the lyrics of the song. It hit me hard, even though it's not about me. But it's, when am I going to stop being wise beyond my years and just start being wise?
Yeah.
When am I going to stop being pretty young thing to guys? It is this fear of growing up, but more and more so, it's this fear of the way that society commodifies young women and says your worth expires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there is just a tremendous maturity in that understanding and the fear that she is expressing, and it's obviously like about her fear as an artist. What I think she has one line, what if I've already given my best?
It's peaking also early. Like the it's a fear and a hope. All of the lines can be seen as such, where it's like, oh no, I'm growing up too quickly, or also, when is this going to happen for me? I want to be wise. I want to be pretty, or not just pretty young thing anymore. I want to grow up and all that stuff. All that angst or like anger about like being patted on the head and patronized and whatnot, or expiration.
And she literally, this is the last song on the album. She wrote this when she was 19. She's 20 now. She was literally saying goodbye to teenager Olivia Rodrigo. She even talks about like the birthday candles on the cake. Happy birthday to me. You got your whole life ahead of you, but you're only 19. But she's saying, but I fear that they've already got the best parts of me, and I'm sorry that I couldn't always be your teenager. So she's saying goodbye to the audience that has idolized her as a teenage pop sensation.
Yeah. That's wild.
She's saying, I'm sorry, I literally just am getting older.
I'm 20 now.
I'm 20.
I think she's like setting up to be like, my next album really might not sound like this guy. So please, like, don't be mad.
Yes.
But within that couplet of lines too, right? I feel they already got the best parts of me. I'm sorry, I couldn't always be your teenage dream. Right. That is about an artist. Yeah. That's just women.
Yeah.
That is, we want
Yeah. Zach saying the most profound thing of the podcast.
Right.
I mean, maybe I should mansplain what it means to go. To be
one, what it means. Better. To me that, like, she's feeling this way at 19. Yeah. Again, and this is getting personal. But at 29, I just started to get here where I'm like, is this happening to me right now?
Yes.
So, like, it's really disheartening to hear that someone 10 years younger than me
is going through it.
Is feeling similar.
But you know what? The way I, like, rationalize it in my head is, like, we had these big emotions, right? Like, didn't my therapist ask me this the other day? She was like, what's the worst thing that's ever happened to you? Mm-hmm. And I went through like five different scenarios and I was like, well, it's all subjective, right? When I was 16 and my high school boyfriend and I broke up, I could tell you that was the worst I've ever
devastating,
felt.
Right?
Is it the worst thing that's ever happened to me now that I'm 33? Fuck no, obviously. Yeah. But in those big feelings,
definitely,
that was the fucking worst it's thing so that
and
had
the
ever
first
happened.
Time things happen to you.
And she has a way of packaging those big feelings and making them relevant to anyone. We're all transported back to that. Like you said, like the 20 or the teenager and the 33-year-old, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm forever a teen when listening to her because she just has a way of taking big emotions and making them grown as fuck.
Mm-hmm. I looked up Katy Perry's Teenage Dream she released when she was 26. And it's like the lyrics are, we can be young forever. Yeah. You make me feel like I'm living a teenage dream. It's like we are our music, our pop culture. And again, especially the way that we portray value of women. It is all about youth is good. Age is bad.
Definitely.
If we can feel like we're teenagers, that is positive. Age is negative. And I think this song kind of stands as a beautiful antidote to that message, which is a very pernicious and bad message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like in art right now, in general, it's very pessimistic. Everybody is just like, I don't want to be here. This fucking sucks. Blah, 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 blah. I'm trying to get out of whatever era this is. And so like her crossing over into not being a teenager anymore, she's not valuing, you know, that she's valuing the experiences that she has yet to experience and all of that. And that, I think that that's just indicative of where we are as a culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great fucking album. I'm not really ready to say which one I like more. It's too fresh for me, but she stuck the landing.
Yeah.
She did.
This is a really dumb man comparison to make, but this Olivia Rodrigo is a freshman quarterback that just came into the NFL and is playing like a fucking pro.
Johnny Football.
Yeah. It's just like, who is this new
the
guy?
Freshman
he is fucking
who is
composed.
Inducted into the
he just got
open.
Here.
Yeah.
This is all about Jordan Love on the Packers, but it doesn't matter. But like, yeah, it's just really cool to watch someone handle themselves well beyond their years. I don't want to say that she's wise beyond her years because she doesn't like to hear
that.
She doesn't want that. But it is very cool to just watch someone be this observant in general.
Yeah.
You know, and be this like self-reflective and put it out there and be vulnerable about it.
Can we talk for a moment? I'm curious why we think Olivia has such a chokehold on millennials.
On millennials?
What do you mean? Did you not
or
just hear the last?
She has just like that teenage.
She's
good.
Giving
like,
us
she's
the
giving
emo
us exactly,
girl that we never had. We
the
had Fallout Boy. We had the guys.
Open for 10 years.
Yeah.
Like it's been open for so long.
We
nobody
had Haley,
still, and we're like,
and that was it. That was our emo queen.
It's like they were telling us we were too old. We need to move on. And Olivia's like, Ashley, I'm going
to
give you exactly
you.
What you want.
It's cool.
It's like, thank you. I appreciate that.
We
also,
never had her.
Last thing I want to say kind of, get him back. I forgot to mention this. Reminds me of Kesha because she's rapping. That is a rapstress. Kesha, too, was a rapstress when she first came out.
That's true.
And that's exactly what's going on there.
It's which means talking. The Olivia times Pitbull collab is coming.
Oh, yeah. My God. Mr. Worldwide, definitely on the way.
I really hope she never does a feature ever in her life.
Oh, my God.
I feel like on her albums, I mean, like
you're kind of right.
She should go all hits, no features.
Unless
like
it's
J.
something
Cole.
Insane.
Yeah.
Right? Like fucking like Jay-Z Haley Williams. Featuring.
It makes sense.
No, I don't want
that
one.
Something. Get him back. Kendrick Lamar.
Like yeah. Something wild.
I mean, Kendrick did do like a collab with Taylor. I remember that. Yeah. So it's not.
That was interesting.
Far off.
But I really just don't want her to have features. I just, I'm here for you. For the, I mean, for the
there
first
would be nothing sadder if in the middle of this teen angst anthem, you just heard Young Gravy.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
The worst.
Not Young Gravy. Please.
Oh God!
Can we? Do we have to even say if this is a guilty pleasure? Guilty pleasure.
Oh,
guilty?
It's a pleasure. Yeah, all
it's not
the
even
way
guilty.
Around.
Yeah, nothing guilty. Yeah.
Good.
I want to say that I saw a tweet that said that Olivia adults are the new Disney adults, and I felt very called out.
Oh, I'm feeling so attacked by that.
And I'm attacked, and I'm just going to ignore it.
All right, this is a full guilt. I hate it.
It's so good.
That, no, you know who wrote that? A Disney adult.
A Disney adult.
Definitely. Don't want to pull us into your stuff, girly. Okay.
I'm not going to fucking Olivia Land every weekend.
No, I'm not.
You
we're not dressing up fucking living our identities.
Now, maybe I will be. Oh, my God. Maybe I'll be Olivia for Halloween. I don't know. Maybe
also, Petra Collins was the director for and creative director for so many of her music videos, and they're fucking sick and insane, and everyone should go look at Petra Collins.
Yeah. Her music videos are great. I want more high-concept photo shoots. That's my challenge for the next album.
I like it. Yeah.
She's busy, dude.
She's got stuff to do.
I don't know how to wrap this up. I'm just happy. Can we just go scream? Do you guys just want to scream together?
Yeah.
Hey, everyone, if you're driving in your car, I think this is an invitation to scream.
Yes.
To scream with us to get your angst. No, we're going to do it together.
Wait, we got to say where to find ourselves.
Okay, cool. Yeah, okay. We'll end with a scream, with a primal scream. Do you want it to be like a, or like a, like how? What kind of, are we going feral?
Like an emo.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
So,
like a guttural.
Sequoia, it's always a pleasure to have you. Thank you for joining.
Thank you for having me.
It was nice to have someone who gets it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It really was.
Thanks, as the person who gets it.
I feel so complete.
Your podcast is fantastic. Where can people find you?
You can find my podcast if you look up Black People Love Paramore across any streaming and on YouTube. And you can find me on social at Sequoia B. Holmes.
Yes, you can.
And just to be clear, she has an episode with the one and only Haley Williams.
Of Paramore.
Uh-huh.
Of your namesake podcast.
Also, I love telling this story. When she found out that Haley Williams was coming on the podcast, she just kind of walked around the apartment. And it's like, I don't know how to feel about this. It was like the scene on Talladega Nights when Ricky Bobby's getting interviewed and his hands kept coming into the screen. It's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. I don't know. And it was very adorable.
That's huge.
I was fucking immediately terrified.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing.
But you fucking crush it, and it was epic. Thanks. And the clips are viral as fuck. And how amazing to get her to come and sit down and talk. Wow.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Should be so proud.
And Olivia, if you ever want to come hang, let us know.
Yeah.
Talk about walking around with our hands up in the air.
I'm at Corndy and all the things.
I'm Kelsey Darrow and all the things.
I'm Garrett Bernard and all the things.
Hey, you ready, motherfuckers?
Yeah.
And until next time.